to Isaiah chapter 6. I'd like to invite you to take out your bulletin, the outline. Isaiah chapter 6. Chapter 9, I'm sorry, forgive me. Isaiah chapter 9. And we're looking at verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. As we go through the various prophecies that were fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, right to the letter, right on time. And just as God had predicted and prophesied through his servants and prophets, like Isaiah. And here this wonderful verse that oftentimes is put on Christmas cards. It's great because it is. It's a Christmas verse. It's about the first advent of Jesus Christ, but it's also about his second coming, when he comes in all power and rule, and he rules on David's throne. But between his first advent and his second advent, you and I serve him and love him and adore him today. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great names. Great names that God has described to his son, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. And he is indeed an awesome God, isn't he? I love that song. Don't you know our God is an awesome God? Because he is awesome. It's not just the music and just the words, but what those words convey, that truth, that he is awesome. Our God is an awesome God. And these names, and many other names too, that are ascribed to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, convey that awesomeness, that amazement, if you will, that wonder of who God is. Our God is an awesome God. There would be red lining for you. To have an awe of God is important for every one of us. Having an awe of God is to be filled with amazement and wonder, to reverence, to fear, to love, and to serve him. Knowing that he is God and we are not. Aren't you glad? Just think if you were God. Boy, what a lot of mistakes God makes, huh? Yeah, right. Yeah, but he is God, and we are. And our God is an awesome God, and that is truly conveyed in these names. He's a wonderful counselor. Our God is an awesome God to give counsel, to give guidance, direction, to reprove us, to correct us, and to instruct us. All that our awesome God, his wonderful counselor, does. We looked at that last week. This study we're looking at, our God is an awesome God, is a mighty God. Let's take a look at your outline before you. Psalm 33, verse 8. Let all the earth, think of that, all the earth fear the Lord. That word fear, of course, those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is that fear of judgment, the fear of the penalty of sin, fear of the condemnation, fear of hell, fear of the eternal lake, the fire. But once you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that fear is removed. And that reverence, that holy fear of a holy God is there now. And there's an awe in our hearts. To reverence, to honor him, to obey him. Oh God, let all the earth fear the Lord, and all the inhabitants of the world stand in what? In awe of him. Again, there in Nehemiah. Now therefore our God, the great and mighty, and the awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love. He's awesome in fulfilling his covenant's promises. He's awesome in demonstrating his grace and love every day of our lives, even to those who don't yet know him. He showers his grace upon this world. Our God is an awesome God. Again, if you will, in Acts chapter 2, verse 43, you have everyone kept feeling a sense of what? Awe. Why was that? Because they knew him. They knew him. They knew him personally. Yes, many had seen him crucified on the terrible cross there on Golgotha's Hill outside of the city. They knew him after the resurrection. And they handled him, they ate with him, they talked with him, they walked with him. They knew him. And they knew that he was awesome. And God was working when Jesus Christ ascended to the Father. The Holy Spirit was sent from heaven, indwelling every born-again believer, indwelling the very presence of the church. And the church grew. Why? Because our God is an awesome God. He is the mighty God. Amen? Yes. And so the church was, they were filled with a sense of awe. Let me ask you this morning. Have you lost your sense of awe of God? Have you? Has it diminished in any way? To any extent? Has your new life in Jesus Christ become yesterday's news? For a lot of Christians it has. Because you ask them about their faith and their life in Jesus Christ, and they refer to back when they accepted Christ, when they put their faith in Christ. Maybe they went forward at an invitation, an evangelistic meeting. Or they got down on their knees there at home maybe and just asked Christ to come into their lives. And they had such an awe of God at that time because they knew Him. And they knew that He was a mighty God. But then in the course of time, like for every one of us, sometimes that sense of joy of our salvation, that sense of awe, that sense of amazement, that sense of the amazing work of His grace, it diminishes sometimes. And we get involved with other things. Have you lost your awe of God? The awe-inspiring names of Jesus Christ are there not only to identify who He is, but also to clearly instill, inspire, give us that sense of awe for all that He truly is and always will be. My God. We have that as a second compound name here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Father God, we just pray that You'll just so move with by Your Holy Spirit upon our hearts. Every one of us that know You, Lord Jesus, and that the joy of our salvation would just be overflowing. And Lord, that there would be that growing, growing sense of awe. That increasing awareness of Your amazing grace at work always in our lives. Lord, guard us, we pray, as we get into Your word. Lord, we pray that Your word will effectually work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, You just said that we'll know You the more better make You known to others. So Lord, guide us now, we pray. In Your matchless name, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the mighty God. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Mighty God, it's a compound name. It's Gabor. If you're looking at it literally, it's Gabor El, which we would turn it around El Gabor. The word El, of course, is a short form of Elohim. And it's oftentimes translated God. But what it conveys, and oftentimes you'll see that in the context wherever El is used, as the one who is strong and mighty. And so this is almost like a duplication, because Gabor also means mighty. So you have the mighty mighty, if you will. The mighty, mighty God. Yes, He is mighty. But Gabor means something else too, as it's conveyed, and we see it used in the Old Testament in the context. It means a mighty warrior. One who's always victorious. One who overcomes the enemy. One who is unbeatable. And He is. He's the unbeatable Savior. He's a mighty warrior that did battle for you and me, didn't He? He really did. The mighty God, El Gabor. Notice what it says in Psalm 24, where we see the word Gabor, mighty, used twice. And because indeed He's so mighty. Who is the King? Who is this King of glory? There in Psalm 24, verse 8, the Lord, strong and what? And mighty. The victorious warrior who overcomes the enemy. The Lord mighty in battle. Oftentimes we see the Lord overcoming the enemies of His people, like the Assyrians, if you will, where 180,000 were wiped out by the Lord Himself. The angel of the Lord just wiped them out. The Philistines, where God would raise up judges and whatnot, like Samson, if you will, and some of the others. And God was doing battle for His people. Why? Because He's the mighty God. He's a mighty God for his people then, and he's a mighty God for his people today, for you and I. We want to take a look at what that means in our personal relationship with the mighty God, who we know is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the embodiment and the fulfillment of all these compound names. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the Father of eternity, or if you will, the everlasting Father. He is that Prince of Peace. We're looking at mighty God right now, though, aren't we? Okay, so the first thing, Jesus is the mighty God who delivers us from sin. Only God can do that. You can't do that. I can't do it. You can't do it for me. I can't do it for you. But something you and I can do is that we can instruct, we can point sinners like we all are to Jesus Christ, because he's the mighty God. And Jesus, as the mighty God, he delivers us from sin. He paid the price, the full price. His death on the cross. Take a look at the verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins. Not over and over and over again, like the Old Testament sacrifices. No! They all led up to the final and full sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who is the mighty God. Who suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. You see, the mighty God's mission in Jesus Christ, God's Son, was to bring us to God. And the only way he could do that was to do a battle. A battle for your soul and for my soul. And that battle was done right there in Calvary and the tomb of his resurrection. And he won. Aren't you glad? Well, I sure am. He paid the price in full, that he could indeed pay the price for your sins and for my sins and the sins of the whole world. For everyone who turns to him in faith, believing, has that gift, that grace of forgiveness. His finality, the finality of his death and his ability to save us completely. Why? Because he's a mighty God. He's a victorious one. He's that one who is invincible. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost. Not to the nearmost, if you will, but to the uttermost, beyond our comprehension. Those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What he can and he will do today in the lives of men and women and boys and girls who turn to him. Because he, Jesus Christ, the mighty God, he paid that penalty for them as well. The next, he did not just cover our sins, he removed them from us. Aren't you glad? You see, all those Old Testament sacrifices, it's clear in the Word of God, they could never remove the sin. Oh, they could make the means for people who put their sacrifice before God in faith, believing that God, that they were obedient to what God had commanded. And they believed that indeed that animal died in their place because they were sinners that were justly condemned to death. But it says clear in God's word that none of those sacrifices, of all the lambs, the goats, the bulls, all those blood sacrifices only covered the sin and brought forgiveness to the sinner in the Old Testament. All those sacrifices were made like God's big billboard and arrow pointing to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Mighty God did that. And so that's why we say he doesn't just cover our sins, he takes them away. As far as the east is from the west, he removes our sins. He died a death he never deserved to give us a life we could never earn. That's what Jesus Christ, the mighty God, did for you and I. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life. In Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, Jesus, the mighty God, he's the one who delivers us from sin. He paid the price. The next thing we see, if you will, as we explore the Word of God, as we begin to understand the greater depth and breadth of what this compound name, Mighty God, conveys to the believer today, to the sinner who is yet to believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've heard about him, you celebrated Christmas, you celebrated Easter, I need to invite you right now, in the name of Jesus, come to Jesus. Will you do that? He is the mighty God, and He will transform your life. He will. He will forgive your sins. He will bring the Holy Spirit into your life and begin a transformation work, because He is the mighty God. Jesus is the mighty God who delivers us from judgment and eternal death. He has the power to do that. What do we mean by that? Well, let's see what the Word of God means by that. He delivered us from the law of sin and death. Take a look, if you will, at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those outside of Christ, and I was there outside, and you, if you're in Christ now, there was one time when you were outside. And you were underneath the condemnation and the judgment of God. The righteous and holy condemnation and judgment of God. Because of your sins, because of my sins. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. He took our judgment. He took your judgment. He took my judgment upon Himself. He died that eternal death. When Jesus Christ cried out there on the cross, and you know that, that statement, because it's a quotation from Psalm 22, but it was spoken by the mighty God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ here on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God the Father forsook the Son of God there at that moment. At that moment, Jesus Christ experienced an eternal separation from God the Father. You see, that's exactly what sinners unsaved will experience. But not just for a moment, not just for a day, not just for a week, but for eternity. That eternal separation from the presence, the grace, the mercy of God eternally. He delivered us from the law of sin and death. He delivered us from the grave and rose to give us a final victory over death. That's our mighty God. That's Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Is He yours? I pray He is. He delivered us from the grave and rose to give us, me, and I didn't write that in. I'm sorry, my computer really makes a lot of mistakes. Does yours do that too? All right, see, you're, okay. I think you're in collusion. I really do. He delivered us from the grave and rose to give us the final victory over death. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:57. It speaks of our mighty God, and we are thankful for the triumph in Him. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, that's your body, that's my body, it's perishable. Is it perishing right now? Yes, it is. But the inner man, the inner woman in Christ Jesus is being renewed every day, day by day, from glory to glory. Aren't you glad? Yes. That's that inner you where Christ dwells with you and in you. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, that's talking about the resurrection, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's the mighty God. He delivers us from the judgment, condemnation, eternal hell. He delivers us ultimately from that physical death through the resurrection. Yes, we're going to die. You probably knew that already. But that's not the last chapter. And even for those outside of Jesus Christ, that's not the last chapter. And oh, how much they will wish that that was their last chapter. When the lights go out, that's all there is. But there's more to come. And for the believer in Jesus Christ, the best is yet to come. He delivered us from eternal death and gives us the gift of eternal life. Take a look at those verses there. This is the mighty God speaking to you and I through His Word. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have what? Life! And have it abundantly. Only mighty God can do that. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who indeed is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's all of that and so much more. That's why it behooves every one of us who know Jesus Christ to know him more fully, so that you and I can make him more fully known to others. And one of the ways we do that is by getting into the Word of God and inviting and allowing and wanting and desiring the Word of God to get into us. And when we see these wonderful names of Jesus Christ, we begin to know him more fully, don't we? Yeah, he's the mighty God. He truly is. He delivered us from eternal death, and he gives us the gift of eternal life. My sheep hear my voice. Are you one of his sheep? I pray you are. He is the good shepherd. And if you know the Savior, you also know the shepherd. There's no doubt about it. There's no dichotomy, if you will. They're one and the same, because he's the mighty God that did all of that for you right now. If you know him, you need to know him as a mighty God in your life that you want to love and serve and walk with him every day. He delivered us from your eternal death and gives us the gift of eternal life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. And the one, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Only Jesus Christ, the mighty God, can do this. Not just a good teacher, not just another rabbi, not just a good man, but the mighty God, Jesus Christ. Only he can do that. And he does that. And has done that. And will do that. If you don't know him personally, he'll do that in your life today if you just turn from your sins and turn to him in faith and believe him. I know that's true because he did it in my life. I know that's true, first of all, first and foremost, because God has declared it in his word. And he fulfills his word in the lives of those who put their faith and trust in him. Let's go on. Jesus is the mighty God who defeated Satan and his powers. That's important. Only the mighty God can do that. Satan was a created angel, an archangel. And he rebelled. He rebelled against holy, righteous God, the one who created him. And he said, I'm going to be just like God. And you see that in Isaiah chapter 14, and also in Ezekiel chapter 28. And all these, I will, I will, I will. And God says, no, you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't. And kicked him out of heaven. Jesus, as the mighty God, he defeated Satan and his powers. He destroys the works of Satan. Take a look at it, if you will, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8b. For the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Is the devil still around? Yes, he is. Does he still work and labor? Yes, he does. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's our adversary, not our advocate. He's not our God. No way. He's our enemy. And the only one that you and I have to protect us, to defend us, to do battle for us, is the mighty God, Jesus Christ. You and I cannot do it by ourselves. Does he attack you? Does he attack your marriage? Does he attack your family? You better believe the adversary is attacking all the time. But Jesus Christ, the mighty God, will be your shield and defender. He disarmed the powers of darkness. Take a look at Colossians chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 15. And he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame and triumphing over them in him. Satan and his cohort of fallen angels, we know them today as demons, they were disarmed by Jesus Christ in his death, resurrection, and ascension to the Father. And he rules there at the right hand of God the Father, yes, as the Lord Jesus Christ, but also as the mighty God, as El Gabor, the one who's victorious, and the one who gives that victory, if you believe in him, over Satan, over the demons. That victory is only in Christ alone. Satan and his cohorts, the demons, though they can lie to you, though they can deceive you, though they can try to influence you, they have no control over you. You You need to know that. Without Jesus Christ, I would be a lost, hell-bound sinner under the control of Satan. And you would too. But the moment a person is saved, they are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You have a new king. Amen. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Let's go on. He destroyed Satan's power over death and sets free the redeemed. Notice that, underline that, the redeemed from slavery. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, meaning Christ himself, Jesus himself likewise partook the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Are you afraid to die? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know it's only a shadow. It's only a valley of the shadow of death. And then there's Jesus who receives you into the kingdom of God in heaven. You're already, if you're enjoying Jesus Christ, you're in the kingdom of God here on earth. But when you die, you enter into the kingdom of God in heaven. A few days ago, Isabel Nall put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ many years ago. Some of you, many of you know her. 91 years, think of that. Yeah. She went through that valley, that shadow of death, and Jesus received her into the kingdom of life. You see, that's only something the mighty God can do. You can't do it. I can't do it. We can't even do it all together. Jesus is the mighty God who empowers us with his amazing grace. John says, we have received from him grace upon grace. And you know, the way John is writing that, he can keep writing grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, because that's the way it is. In the fullness of God's grace, it never stops. So every day, you know, I pray, Lord, shower your grace upon your people. You know, it's not that I have to pray that, because he's already doing it. But you know, when you pray like that, you're affirming that that's what he's doing. You're giving him the glory. And he's showering his grace upon grace upon grace upon his people every day. Because why? He's the mighty God. Jesus is the mighty God who empowers us with his amazing grace. Take a look. Grace can grow in grace to grow in every increasing awe of God for his glory. Let me read that again. Some of you are saying, slow down, Bill. Some of you are saying, speed up, Bill. I know, grace to grow in ever-increasing, underline that little word, awe. The more you and I grow in knowing Jesus Christ and growing in his grace, we grow more and more in awe of him for his glory. Peter says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. The more we know him, the more we love him. The more we love him, the more we are in awe of him and see his glory. Grace should make us sufficient to abound in every good work. Only mighty God can do that in your life and my life. And he does that. He does that with the power of grace. Take a look. And God is able to make all grace, not some grace, not a little grace. But don't you love that? Again, a three-letter word. Like all. Right? All. Grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. Paul would say, and you and I can say, I've done these things in the name of Jesus Christ, but not I, but Christ's grace working in me mightily. And he was encouraged, those in Corinth, to experience that all the more, the work of God's grace in their life, to serve him, to love him, to walk with him. Ephesians chapter 2, we love that verse, for by grace are we saved through what? Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not of ourselves, as anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. that he has ordained for us. You see, that's what grace does. When you know the mighty God, Jesus Christ, you want to serve him. You want to be with him every day. You want to do those works that he has ordained. Again, another grace to have is power in our weakness. Are you ever weak?
Yeah, sometimes, Bill, yeah, but all the time.
All the time we are weak. Really. But I know the strong one, don't you? His name is Jesus Christ. He also has a name, Mighty God. The strong one. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all who are gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Why? Because the mighty God, Jesus Christ, gives that amazing, sufficient, all-sufficient grace. Every day, every moment, every need, every time. Only mighty God can do that. Not just some good rabbi, not just some teacher, not just some good example. Many are saying today, even in churches, that that's all Jesus is. He's the good example. Follow him. Now God says in his word, he's the mighty God. Know him and live for him by his grace. By his grace. Grace to train and transform us to live our new life in Christ daily. Underline that word daily. It's not just a Sunday affair, is it? Do you only have a Sunday affair with Jesus? I pray not. It's a daily affair, right? For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Do you think is the reality of what God's Word says here, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, made possible through Jesus Christ, the mighty God? Do you think that if the church, members, believers in the body of Christ, were experiencing all of that, that something would happen in our communities? Do you think the abortion rate would grow up? No. Do you think the drug rate would go up? No. Do you think the divorce rate would go up? No. Do you think dysfunctional families would keep multiplying and increasing with that generational effect, generation after generation? No. Why? Because when mighty God, Jesus Christ, begins to capture the hearts of his people in his kingdom right now here on earth, something really wonderful happens. People begin to see the reality of who Jesus really is. He's not the good rabbi. He's not the good teacher. He's the mighty God. They begin to listen. They begin to hear. The Holy Spirit begins to work in ways that maybe we've never experienced before as a church. Because mighty God, he's working in his action. And those who have doubts and yet still follow, all of a sudden they say, you know, I don't have any doubts anymore. I want to follow hard after Jesus. And those who don't know him are saying, you know something? I really want to know this Jesus Christ whom you know and is obviously working in your life. I'm a sinner just like you, and I know that I need a Savior. I need to be forgiven. You see what happens when mighty God works in the lives of his people? And grace reigns. God's people begin to be genuine, wholehearted, gracious with others, with the gospel. Thank you. Jesus, the mighty God, is the personification of all that grace. He is the embodiment. It says, for the grace of God has appeared. And the way Paul is writing that, he's writing that as the person of Jesus Christ. And as you have received Christ Jesus, that grace keeps abounding and abounding, grace upon grace. Let me ask you some questions, if you will. You're here this morning. Has the Holy Spirit been maybe drawing you to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ? Showing you that you need to be saved? You need to have your sins forgiven? You need to know Jesus Christ indeed as the mighty God, the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? But you need to know Him now? Has the Holy Spirit been drawing you to Christ? Maybe over the past days, maybe over the past weeks, maybe over the past months. I meet people every week, and you do too. And I know that God's been working in their life to try to draw them, drawing them to His Son, Jesus Christ. You know that you need to be forgiven, cleansed, made whole again. Maybe you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're saying, you know something? My Christian life, my conversion in Christ, seems like yesterday's news. It's no longer the front banner of my life. And I want it to be now. I want the awe of God, the joy of my salvation, the amazing grace of God's work in my life, like it used to, but doesn't now. Would you pray right now and ask the Lord to deal with your heart, draw you closer to Him, renew and revive and restore that awe of Him like it used to be, and the joy there with it, and the peace. Join with me in prayer. Father God, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the mighty God. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for all that You have done as the mighty One, giving us victory upon victory in Yourself. Victory over sin and temptation that we can have every day. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that we knew we have victory over death and even the second death, and especially the second death. Lord, I pray that if there be anyone here, man or woman, who doesn't know You personally as their Lord and Savior, that they would make that step of faith, that they would make that decision, that commitment right now. And just simply pray, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe that You died for my sins, and You rose again on the third day. I'm a sinner, and I need to be forgiven. Come into my life, mighty God, and give me that newness of life to live with You and for You, and empower me with Your grace from now on and forever. Father, I pray for that brother or sister in Christ here in this auditorium that may be struggling in their faith, whether it be circumstances or situations in their life physically, whatever it may be. Father, I pray for them that they would come to know You more fully as the mighty God, Lord Jesus, and have that awe of You renewed, the amazing, the wonder of Your grace overflowing in their lives. That You would make Yourself so real to them through Your Word. Not just at Christmas time, but every day. Manifesting Your presence with them. I pray that for my own heart too, Father. I pray that for my church family. That You would reawaken, renew, restore the amazement and the wonder of You. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.